listening
to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us on the 58th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we'll be discussing the original and the remake sequel of The Town That Dreaded Sundown. The original Town That Dreaded Sundown is available to stream on Vudu, and the remake is also available on Vudu as well as Amazon Prime. So feel free to check those out before continuing if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener. Is it a remake or a sequel?
I mean, it's a sequel.
We'll discuss. It's a sequel. I know, but it's like the same title. Like, you don't name a sequel the same thing as you name the original. You have to put like a 2 at the end of it, or chapter whatever, or storyline B. It's just the same title.
It's like not even like a reimagining, because it's like they refer to the old movie in the new movie.
Yeah, it's a universe in which the old movie exists and the original murders exist. But it's called the same. It's just very confusing. And I don't know if I should be calling it a remake or a sequel. I agree it is a sequel. Kind of. It's weird. I don't know.
I get what you're saying, because it's like, it's kind of like its own thing. Because, I mean, there's movies in which you watch movies that exist now, but they're still, I don't know.
That's weird. It'd be like if someone...
It's so meta. It's so meta.
It's very meta. It's it's a meta movie. The meta version of The Town of Dreaded Sundown.
The Dreaded Sundown.
Okay, I like it. We'll go with meta. Reverse,
cool.
Rewind, meta Town That Dreaded Sundown. Good job, Car. Good call, Carly. That's hard to say.
And you're welcome.
With wine, especially. But before we jump into all this nonsense, let's get started with a segment that we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Strangers Pray at Night. Pray with an E, not an A. Like victims.
Clever.
Yeah.
Like a lioness is going to stalk you.
Exactly. Or bird of prey is what I immediately think of. Murder. Exactly. Just murder. It has a release date of March 9th. This just came out today, I think, right? We decided to hop on that. It's directed by Johan Roberts, who directed 40 Meters Down and The Other Side of the Door. And it's written by Ben Kitai,
I'd
say. Who wrote The Forest, so oof. The IMDb summary is, a family staying in a secluded mobile home park for the night are visited by 3 masked psychopaths to test their every limit. So this is a teaser trailer. It's pretty short. It's only like a minute, I think. I have watched The Strangers at this point of my life. I know previously I stated that I hadn't seen The Strangers yet. I have at this point in my life seen The Strangers. So I'll let you go first, Carly, because I know you're a fan of The Strangers. So, first impressions.
I do. Is that weird? I feel like it's such a weird, it's such a weird movie to be like, I like The Strangers.
I think a lot of people like The Strangers, though.
It's so brutal, and it's super, like, honest. And, like, it's more of, like, a real scenario horror movie than most horror movies that are, like, very, like, follow that horror film formula. That was weird to say.
I will say I see what you're saying, though. I will say that the thing I do like about The Strangers is that we know nothing about our killers. We don't know their motivation. We don't know what they look like. We don't know their personalities, really. It just makes it fucking terrifying.
And so also, like, the scariest thing is, like, why us? And it's like, oh, because you were home.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah, they barely talk. They barely, I don't know. It's crazy. So, like, this is where this movie is special, where this franchise, I believe, is going to be special. And we already have some of the strangers talking in the trailer, in the 1 minute trailer. So, I don't know. Do we want our strangers talking in the sequel? Do we want to know more about them? Is that where this is going to lead us? Or is it going to be very similar to the first in that we don't know anything about them?
I don't personally want my strangers talking.
Right.
I prefer... This one also looks a lot more action-y than the first one
Sure.
kind of seemed. Yeah. The first one was a slow build. You kind of learn about your characters. Then they kind of get messed with. And then just shit goes down. This trailer just seems to, like, just jump right in.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems, I don't know, in the minute and a half, unless we've just seen all of the action in the movie, I suppose.
Maybe.
In this trailer, which is also possible.
Sure. I'm hearing a lot of people say that they're super stoked for this movie. They're really excited. They think the trailer looks great. I don't think the trailer looks bad, but I'm not getting that excitement. And I just watched The Strangers recently. So, like, it's fresh in my brain that they don't talk and I don't want to know about them. I like that they're unknown. I like that about them. But we do know from the first film that that was, like, probably their first kill. That was probably their first offense because they said, we'll get better at the end.
True.
So it makes
setting
sense.
It up for the sequel.
It makes sense that there's a sequel. It's funny that it kind of took this long. Because didn't The Strangers come out in like 2008 or something? Came out a while ago.
It did come out a while ago.
So it's a long wait for a sequel. But I don't know. Like, I'm a little bit skeptical because we have a different directing writing team here. I never saw 47 Meters Down. I have seen The Forest, and the writing is terrible. So I'm a little skeptical here. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like Christina Hendricks, who's our mom character,
I
guess.
Her. Yeah. She's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and then we also have... Martin Henderson, who most people will know from The Ring. He has his latest stint was on Grey's Anatomy. but I don't know. We have a strong couple lead. I don't really know who the kids are. But I don't know. I'm excited to see this because I, again, like the first movie. I was excited but also a little weary when I heard that they were remaking it. But when I saw, like, those two in the roles, I got excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the actor team also of what I know about them. No issue there. I'm just a little, I have issue. The Forest was terrible. The writing was terrible. It's really not good, in my humble opinion. So I don't know. You got The Strangers talking in the trailer, which already makes me a little sad. And then you have this writer attached to it who I'm not super stoked on. And maybe he's awesome and maybe shit just got edited, fucked up in the forest. That's totally possible. I don't want to say there's no way he's a good writer because we've seen it before where people end up being really good writers and shit just gets fucked up. But I'm just going to say I'm skeptical.
Like, did he co-write it with Brian Bertino, who did the original?
It
looks like he was credited as well.
I think he's just credited as having the original story.
As the original?
Yeah, I believe
gotcha.
So.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. Like I said, I don't have 100% of the information. I just know what IMDb is telling me. But they do that on IMDb when they're using the characters from a previous film. They'll still credit the original writer.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, no, I get your concern.
I think that it could totally be good. It's just, to me, coming right out of seeing the original, I'm a little bit skeptical. I don't want to be excited about it because I'm just a little worried.
I get your fears.
But maybe it's awesome, and I hope it is awesome. And I'm going to hope it's awesome, but I'm not going to expect it's awesome. So there you go.
I like it. I also hope that it's awesome. I will see it in theaters. Mm-hmm. Whenever that day may come. It's just is it March 9th, you said?
Yeah. And the nice thing is we have two, well, supposedly female killers in this series. And so
really? I thought it was two guys and a girl.
No, it's one guy and two girls.
Oh.
You don't remember? It's fresh in my head, girl. It's two women. Well, it's two people who are shaped like women with long hair and doll masks on, and one guy with like a hood and a smiley face. So, yes. So the thing I like about that is that it's kind of like...
Remember. The dark-haired girl and the blonde girl.
Yep.
Okay.
And they're kind of like distant. Like the guy doesn't really talk at all. The girls talk a little bit. But like they... I just like that aspect because it kind of eliminates some of the rapiness we see with films like this.
Sure.
It's so effective and uncomfortable without it having to go to that level. And it's just easier for me to watch that way and still enjoy some of the film without like really just being semi-triggered and not being able to enjoy myself because it has too much of that. So
because it's like they're seriously just there to murder you. There will be no fondling.
Yeah, it's not about fondling. You will just be dying. It's really just about fucking with you and then stabbing you.
Right in the chest.
Spoiler alert for the originals.
God, it's so good. And I love that it's like, I love the way that the original one was marketed because it was just like, when you go into the movie, if you've seen the trailer, you think that it's like these two lovers who are like in a cabin for a romantic weekend. And then like you actually watch it and it's like the total opposite. And it's so good.
Yeah. I like the story. I thought the acting was really good. We're not going to be able to do a Strangers episode now because I want to talk about it. But like you have Scott Speedman, fucking Felicity. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Hell yeah. And then Liv Tyler, who every 90s girl loves
Liv Tyler.
Yes. That Thing You Do, Empire Records.
That Thing You Do. Yes.
She's so amazing in That Thing You Do.
She is.
She's like, I like fell in love with her during That Thing You Do. Because she's just like, her acting, her emotion when she's breaking up with him in the movie is just like, I cry. I want to cry.
And the whole
right
time
now.
You're like, come on.
She's so sweet and there for him, and he's just an asshole. And then she finally sticks up for herself, and it's amazing.
It's so good.
Now we're talking about That Thing You Do.
And her speech at the end of that movie, she breaks up with him.
Yes. Shame on me for wasting all my kisses on you. It's so good.
And then, what's his name? I'm totally blanking on Guy. Guy goes and gets her.
Oh, that movie's so good.
Now I want to watch That Thing You Do. I might watch that after we record.
Wait, what movie are we talking about?
Sorry. We love The Strangers.
And Ethan Embry.
And That Thing You Do.
In that movie.
Oh, and Ethan Embry.
So adorable in that movie.
He's so freaking cute.
Wait, what movie are we talking about? What are we doing?
Both Empire Records and That Thing You Do.
What are we doing?
Devil's Candy? What? Where am I? I'm drinking wine.
As always, girl. Both of us. Okay, well, let's move on. We're on the same page. We got real distracted.
That's where we're at this week.
Go on, girl. Get it.
Our first movie that we will begin with today.
Really not the first one. The seventh movie that we'll discuss today.
Accurate. Is 1976's The Town That Dreaded Sundown, directed by Charles B. Pierce, written by Earl E. Smith. We have some middle initials happening here. The IMDb summary it's very long. In 1946, a ranger hunts for a hooded serial killer terrorizing the residents of a small Texas town.
That wasn't very long, Carly. Was that sarcasm? Were you being sarcastic?
It was... No, never. You're so... Not I.
Okay, so this was my first time watching this, but this was like, you have been talking this movie up since we started recording this podcast over a year ago.
It's true. I haven't watched it since I was 13. And I remember it being terrifying. And to be honest, I don't remember the hilarity of the in-between. I really don't. But I appreciated it so much. And this movie, like, I want to hear what you think, but I already told you because I, like, was watching it and I couldn't not text you how I felt about it because I knew how you felt about it. This movie holds up for me. Like, I'm super content with, like, I'm super content with the cheesy doofiness of the police situation that's happening. But I'm also super impressed kind of by just, like, I don't know, like, the heavy breathing in the mask, like, still, like, scares me. And, like, just the rawness, especially of, like, in 1976, like, the rawness of the murders, like, really, it gets to me. Like, it still makes me feel uncomfortable.
I can agree with you to an extent. This film is not what I was expecting, even a little bit. Because when I think of 70s slasher films, it's extreme brutality and hard to watchness, and it has some of that, and it does have some scenes that are super effective and still pretty terrifying to this day, but it's not super brutal, it's not gory, it's not excessive. It's very, like, made-for-TV type. Like, it feels more like a made-for-TV film to me than a...
I get where you're coming from, but I also don't necessarily agree with that. Like, Chick gets shot in the face at the end.
Yeah, but you don't see anything.
I don't know.
You don't see anything.
But, like,
in this
the
film.
Reaction, it's, like, I don't know. Like, I just, I don't know. To me, I feel like, for me at least, this movie still holds up.
I'm not saying it definitely doesn't hold up, but to me, but I don't have nostalgia at all for it. You do. You saw this when you were like, what, 12 or something?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I think this is a good entryway slasher for a kid. Granted, it's probably going to scare the shit out of them, but it's.
Yes.
but it's not gory and it's not excessive. So it's kind of like. I don't know. I think that, like, if I had a kid that was really into slashers and really wanted to watch slashers, I'd way rather them watch this than, like, I don't know, like, Nightmare on Elm Street or I don't know, like, Friday the 13th sequels. Maybe not the first one.
I can see that.
But, yeah. It's not gratuitous. There's no, like, body parts, you know? There's no, like, weird sex stuff. It's just, there's some stabbing, but, like, not really. It's more like you see the after effects of it, but you don't see anything really happening during. Anyway, let's get in. I have so many notes, so.
Okay.
Let's go through it and jump in, please. Okay. When you have shit to say.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a narrator of this film. So at first it feels very much like a documentary. We have screenshots of Texarkana. We have a narrator telling us facts about things that sound very accurate. And they say things like, you know, only the names have been changed. And kind of scary shit. This happened in, what, 1946? And a lot of this is true. I mean, it's definitely fabricated. And then there's a bunch of weird cop stuff that's totally ridiculous. But they're, like, some of what happened is real. They're loose facts, but, you know, still, this happened. Something like this happened.
Loose facts.
Loose facts. Not fake news. Loose facts. Different thing. The first kill scene, I wrote down, it's not gory or super brutal, but there's something about it that's super unsettling and hard to watch because it feels so realistic. So I agree with you there that first scene especially feels extraordinarily.
Like, her screaming is, like, so shrill and feels so genuine that it's just like, I feel like I'm watching something that I shouldn't be watching.
Yeah, but it's not gory. It's just kind
exactly.
of, it's just terrifying all in of its own because of what's happening. You know, he lifts the hood of the car and you can't see what's happening and she hears something and then he's there and he's grabbing him out of the car and just, we don't even really know what happens. She's on the side of the road and she's still alive. Like, it's interesting, and especially because it's the first kill or attempted kill, and they're still alive. So we know this killer's learning, and they're going to keep trying to do stuff. I mean, you don't just do this for no reason and then not continue to try to do it. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a great way to start the film, but then it gets weird. The girl wasn't killed, but she was chewed on. Like, her back and her stomach and her wrists and her breasts were chewed on. Like, that's fucking creepy. It's creepier to say that than to say she was raped. Like, I expect that she's gonna be raped. I do.
But she wasn't.
She wasn't. She was chewed on.
That's super weird. We have a super weird killer on our hands.
That's not true, by the way. That's not real. But in the movie, it is, and it freaked me out.
That was the writer's thing.
That was one of the loose facts there. But I think that's a great way to eliminate the weird rape while still containing, not weird rape, but like to remove rape from a film and still maintain the, if anything, lift the creepiness factor to add this weird chewing. Could you just even picture like dude bro chewing on her? Fucking creepy. Creepy as shit. Way creepier than anything else I can think of right now.
Yeah, agreed. God, okay. Like the horror that girl must have been like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I thought that this was a great start. And then we kind of start to wobble a little bit with the strength of the film. Because we start to get these cops. The cops are by far the downfall of this film. In addition to the acting and the dialogue.
Yeah, why does it gets so goofy.
It's so goofy, and it's almost, you know what it reminds me of is Last House on the Left, which is one of the most hard to watch films for me. I can't, like, I don't like it.
Agreed.
Just mostly because of the material, like, it's not for me, but there's goofy cops in that too, and it's like, let's lift up our viewers to some comedic relief. But it's
like,
it's,
nope, doesn't excuse the fact that there was still a weird rape scene. Like,
exactly.
Still,
it's
not funny.
And you just made it weird. Like, it doesn't make sense in the film. Like, you can't. The spark plug character is insane. He's fucking insane. He's the worst.
Where do I get those keys again? Oh.
He's the worst. More on him as we move along, but it's just, and then there's like some of the directing stuff is weird. We have like a lot of rain scenes because the killer only strikes in the rain in the movie, or likes to strike in the rain, and all of the rain scenes are so it's so obviously not raining that it's distracting. I know it's the 70s, so, you know, okay. But, like, there's one scene where he's looking out the window, and it's just water hitting the window, but you can clearly see around the window, and nothing else is wet or getting rained on. It's very, it's very unsettling to me. Very distracting. Also, like, little things like that. Or, like, the cop on the radio, and his finger is still on the button, but you can hear someone else talking.
Yeah.
That's not how radios work. Like, little things like that kept, like, hitting me in the head and taking me out of, like, the actual, like, creepiness of the film. I just felt it was overwhelming for me. But, yeah. What else do I got? Bite, bite. Lots of biting.
Lots of biting.
I know it's supposed to take place in the 40s, but all of these guys are taking these girls in cars and just getting mad at them for not having sex with them. All of them. Literally all of them.
Except for the one, I think, is it the second murder where they're just, like, sleeping in the car?
Yeah, that was weird, though. He was
and
like,
they just like take a nap till 3 a.m.
There's a killer on the loose, but let's just park in the woods where the killer usually strikes. And I'm going to put my head on your lap, and you're late and you have to go home or you're going to get in trouble. But please, just 5 more minutes of me putting my head in your lap and taking a nap. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's not real. And also that guy's like, oh, we'll be in the middle of town, so no one will bother us, or like, it won't be a problem. The killer won't be there. But like, it didn't look like the middle of town to me. It looked like the middle of the fucking woods.
That is what I was thinking, too, because they were like, well, why didn't anybody, when was the last time that someone walked through here? They're like, it's the middle of town. And I'm like, that is, first of all, that is not the middle of town.
No, the middle of town is not the woods. It should not be the woods.
It should never be the woods.
Granted, I've never been in a town in 1946.
Unless I'm going to drop it. No, I'm not going to drop the nerd bomb. Never mind.
Go ahead. Drop a nerd bomb. I want it.
No,
I want
the it is terrible. It's so, it's a Star Wars reference.
Do it.
Fuck. Okay. I was going to say, unless you're like a Wookiee and you live on Kashyyyk, and like, that's the only time when the middle of town should be in the woods.
Yes. I want you to nerd bomb all the time. You need to do this more. You know how many of our listeners love that? You
need to continue. I'm like bright red right now. But anyway, real talk.
I loved all of what just happened there. That was amazing. Please nerd bomb more often.
Okay.
Okay. I might not get your nerd bomb jokes, but I appreciate them. It's my favorite.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. So the dialogue in this film is purely informational. Don't expect any emotion, fear, or unless someone's getting attacked, there's fear, obviously. But like actual dialogue, it's all to give you information and for no other purpose. And it's like very much like you're getting lectured every time there's someone talking to another person. And the way they stop, they try to avoid that, is to add in things that don't make any sense. So like when they're talking to the psychiatrist and he's like, oh, let me tell you about your killer. The killer is like this. The killer is like this. Hi, I would like to order a New York strip steak, please. The killer is like this. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why are you, you're ordering steak in the middle of explaining? I don't know. It was just weird.
He's hungry.
He was very hungry. The cop thing, spark plug. Okay, so spark plug is the nonsense cop. He's the comic relief, supposedly. We have, like, every time spark plug is on my screen,
got his
that's his name. I immediately think I'm watching, like, Mystery Science Theater, because it feels like every time he's on the screen, there's the goofy music and it looks like shit and something wonky's happening. And I could just hear the Mystery Science Theater guys just like making fun of him. Like,
but it's not like endearing goofy music like you have when like Dewey comes on and Scream. And
no.
It's like, oh, here it's his theme. And here he is. It's like,
it's very much.
And you're like, nope, that doesn't belong in this movie.
Not at all.
That's a weird choice.
Not even a little bit. He drives like a crazy person and he's just can't be trusted. And then there's a scene where he dresses up like a woman because he has to be the lure to get the killer to come out. So he's in lover's lane with another cop and the other cop keeps feeling him up and it's weird. It's not funny. It's just weird. It's just weird. It was just I don't know.
It's a little awkward, and
it's 1946. I understand you're not gonna have female cops, and you're not gonna have a woman that's gonna agree to do something like this, probably. But it's but it's just weird. Like, why would the other cop want to feel him up so much? It's just
I feel like it's just the contrast between this. Because it's very obvious, obviously, and it's very focused about how, like, when the cops and investigations are happening, it's goofy and a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then, like, these murder scenes that you have are, like, great. So it's kind of like, it feels like two different people were responsible for either writing or just directing. But I guess it's not so much.
No. And then we get a glimpse at 1940s prom. which looks terrible, by the way. I want no part of 1940s prom. It's like, there's very few decorations. The lights are on in the gym. They make the students play music for the other students. I want no part in this prom. The only people having fun are the teachers because they're spiking their own drinks. And then they sing Auld Lang Syne at the end. Like, the New Year's song? That's the New Year's song. You know, you guys know that song. Na 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 na. They sing that at the end of prom? I mean, I know it's the 40s. I don't know a lot about the 40s, but that just seems fucking weird to me.
Who knows?
All right, just saying.
Who know? I don't know. But yes, it is weird.
The student who played trombone, we have the trombone thing. She leaves with her boyfriend, and they, again, why are you going to the woods? This was the middle of town couple. And then, I don't understand the trombone thing. I don't get it. Can you explain to me the trombone thing, Carly? Because this isn't real. This didn't happen. The director writers thought of this. How do you feel about the trombone scene?
It was uncomfortable and weird.
So for those of you who aren't familiar with this film, the killer kills the guy, chases the girl, ties her to a tree, takes her trombone, because she's a trombone player, and ties his knife to the end of the trombone, the slidey part of the trombone, pretends like he's playing it, but he doesn't obviously know how to play the trombone. And also,
does he probably not know how to play it, but he's wearing his mask.
He's wearing a mask, and he tries to blow into it, but nothing happens. And he pulls out the trombone part and stabs her every time he does that. To which you don't even really know she's getting stabbed at first, because A, her reaction isn't really quite what you're expecting, and B, you can't hear any kind of stabbing sound effect, and it's very quiet.
There's a little bit of like a muffled noise.
A little bit, but it's pretty fucking quiet. That scene is way more quiet than you would expect. And it's just weird. It's like, I'm going to try this thing. Oh, it's not working. I guess I'll just continue to try it. Like, just stab her. Why are you doing I don't understand the trombone thing. I don't get it. In the real story, what really happened is the girl played saxophone. She's playing at the VFW or something, and it was her friend, not her boyfriend. But anyway,
maybe that's why they just took a nap together.
Her saxophone was missing. Like, that's it. So, like, he didn't kill her with a musical instrument, but, like, it makes its way into both of these movies, this ridiculous scene. I don't get it. I don't get it. Do you think this scene is scary? How do you feel about this scene, Carly? It's a pretty well-known scene.
Again, this scene just makes me feel like uncomfortable a little bit. I don't know. Like, I never really thought of her not screaming as like a thing. I was like, maybe he's just like stabbing in her back, and her like lungs are deflating or something like that, and she can't really get a scream out because of the fact that the first kill is so scream heavy that I feel like it was like a choice to have her not necessarily scream super loud. But also, like, we have our first, because she runs, right?
And all these chicks are stupid, though.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Because they stand there and, like, watch.
They stand there, and like, when they run, they're so loud. Like, you're in the dark in the woods. You could easily hide from this dude, but you insist on touching every branch of every tree as you're running and screaming the whole way. Like, you're fucking stupid. You deserve to get stabbed with a trombone knife because of your bullshit. Sorry.
Which, again, let's take note, if she was screaming and in the middle of town, someone would have heard her.
You would think.
I digress. The boyfriend, like, this guy's very sadistic, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
He's never really in a rush to do anything, which I think is what's scary to
me. He's very calculated.
Yeah. Like, he knows, and he's very aware of, like, all the things. So he's very aware that the boyfriend's not dead and that he's crawling away. But he's like, you know what? That's fine. I'm just going to grab this and shoot you in the back a bunch of times. Oh, you're not dead yet? Okay, I'm going to just shoot you again. And he's very slow with tying his knife to the end of the trombone. So I don't know.
It's a weird choice.
Yeah, it's just a really, I don't know, like it adds to the weird, creepy vibe that I have gotten this whole movie.
It's true. But that, in the film, not in real life, but in the film, that girl's name was, I don't remember her first name, but her last name was Loomis. Like Billy Loomis from Scream.
Oh, hey.
Hey. Just, you know.
And Dr. Loomis, right?
Of course. Yeah. So lots of Loomis. Loomises. Loomisi.
Can that be a thing?
Sure. And then we have a very strange police chase scene. Sparkplug, again, his crazy hijinks, driving around all crazy. They capture some guy that's not actually the killer and drives into a lake swamp, I guess, like 5 minutes after they caught the guy. It's just so stupid. Why do they do this? All right, let's skip a bunch of shit because it's a lot. But long story short, I mean, I think that there's merit to this film, and I think that as a horror fan, it's worth watching because you can really see how this film connects to future films, and it is one of the first slasher films. I don't think that this is the best slasher film or the first slasher film, but it obviously has its place in horror history, and as a horror fan, I think it's worth watching. Is it fantastic? No, but it has its moments, and it's only an hour and 20 minutes, so it's pretty quick for something from the 70s. Usually 70s films are long as fuck. This film is pretty short. I think it's worth watching, especially since it's free on Vudu. Like, check it out. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not my favorite.
I still like it.
Black Christmas is older, better, and scarier than this film.
I will say Black Christmas is definitely better.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Like, these murder scenes definitely still got to me. And I don't hate it. I enjoy, like, how it makes me feel. Well, not that sounded weird.
No, I know.
I don't know. Like, his, like, heavy breathing, like, super freaks me out. The mask thing.
And the scene at the end that we didn't even talk about with the woman running into the cornfield, I thought that whole scene was really well done. Really creepy.
It was super scary. And especially, like, when they talk about her husband who gets, like, shot. Yeah. Well, that whole scene, like, she's just, like, in her kitchen hanging out. Yeah. Her husband's reading his paper and he gets shot through the window.
Yeah.
Like, super fucking terrifying. Like, totally. I don't know. And then, like, her neighbor finds her, like, outside. Like,
I've never cheered so much for a neighbor having a gun as I did in that moment. I was super stoked for her. I'm like, yes, your neighbor has a gun. You're safe.
You're good. And then like the murderer is like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah.
We've had enough. I'm done.
I guess in the true story, if you're interested, anybody, she gets out the window and he doesn't chase her out. He just leaves because she got away. It wasn't that exciting in real
life.
Right. It was still exciting, I'm sure. I'm just saying, like, there was a whole thing that happened in the cornfield that did not happen in real life. Okay. Like I said, I think as a horror fan, if you're a horror fan, you like to know horror history, you like to know where your horror films come from, I think this is an important film. I think it's a good film. I think there's definitely some scenes that are, like, worthy of your attention. Just be aware that there's some, like, crazy,
goofy,
quirky hijinks and, like, yeah, some weird shit and some bad dialogue and some shitty music that none of it really melds together.
It's
very
worth
well
it, though.
Ish. If you're a horror fan only.
If you're not
into horror movies, A, why are you really listening to us? And which is totally fine. You totally can. But B, like,
how dare you?
I don't even remember where I was going with this, but you, whatever. Let's move on. That was that. We've been talking.
Sorry, one more thing that I'm gonna throw in, and then we're done.
Okay.
I like the idea of that they kind of keep with throughout the whole film, that, like, this is a townie, that, like, he's just walking among you,
Yes.
And like, you never really know.
True.
There. He never disappeared. He never went anywhere. He's still here.
He's still here.
But we don't know who he is.
Yeah, but I mean, that effect is kind of lost on us now because there's no way that person is still alive as a killer in the 40s.
Duh.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, and if they were, they'd have, like, a walker or something. Like, I'm not worried about a killer from the 40s. But, like...
Those baby blues.
I could understand how in the moment, in the 70s, that would be super effective and freaky. Yes, I agree. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about The Town That Dreaded Sundown, the meta version from 2014, directed by Alfonso Gomez Rejon, I think that's how you say it, who did a lot of American Horror Story and some Glee and all that stuff, that television, lots of TV. It's written by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, who wrote the Carrie 2013 remake, which everyone loves and nobody hates. The IMDb summary is, 65 years ago, after a masked serial killer terrorizes the small town of Texarkana, the so-called moonlight murders begin again. Is it a copycat or something even more sinister? A lonely high school girl with dark secrets of her own may be the key to catching him. Wait, what would be more sinister than a copycat killer? Like the ghost of the killer?
Kind of what I read. This is a bad summary.
I'm not understanding the summary very well. Okay. This film is surprisingly good at first and then totally just falls off at the end. It's kind of sad because it could have been pretty good. I didn't think it was horrible. I was surprised. I was expecting some kind of like Platinum Dunes remake kind of film.
Watch your mouth, because Friday the 13th was amazing and also a Platinum Dunes film.
That's true. And you know what? I also watched The Hitcher Platinum Dunes remake and it wasn't awful. All right.
I still need to watch that.
I'll take it back. I won't say it's like a Platinum Dunes.
I'm like, whoa.
All right. Let me rephrase. I thought it was going to be like a shitty remake. Like, I don't know. One of the numerous
like
horror
remakes.
One of
the remakes. Obvious shitty.
But it's... It starts off okay. I think it has a really good beginning. The middle starts to get a little crazy. And then the end is just completely ridiculous and stupid.
Agreed. 100%.
Yeah. The end is so bad. I wish that the end was so different. But it's not. It sucks.
I wish that it would have kept a little bit more of the ambiguity of the original.
Yeah. Or just pick a killer that makes sense and pick one that you set up at least a little bit. I hate it when films do this where they set up. I even have like notes because it's definitely got a whodunit kind of thing happening starting in the middle of the film where you start getting introduced to people that you're supposed to be suspicious of. So like I start to become suspicious. I start taking notes on who I think could be the killer and who... Well, they can't be the killer because it's too obvious if they're the killer. And, you know, I keep doing that in my head. I like that aspect. But when the resolve makes no sense to me, I'm just upset. I'm just like pissed off. But I guess before we get into that, let's talk about it. So we already kind of mentioned at the beginning of this episode that this film is more meta than remake or sequel. Because within this film, the original murders take place. And the original film takes place. But this is a completely fictitious story with just kind of like a copycat killer of the original film. More of the film than the facts. We have it takes place in modern day, 2013, I believe. And it looks like 1970 whatever for some reason. Why did they do that?
I don't know, actually. Is there... I don't know.
Is there a reason that I could find online? No. I could find confirmation that they did that on purpose. I could not find a reason for why they would do that. In 2013...
Because it's supposed to be present.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 2013. There's cell phones. There's modern technology. And it even says 2013 a couple times when they show like the date or wherever they are. Huh. But they're wearing bell bottoms and have a bunch. Everyone has like an old car, and it feels very 70s. And I understand the town looking kind of 70s because sometimes small towns are like that. But come on, the clothes and it just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why that was a choice. It was just confusing. It wasn't helpful to the story. It added nothing to me. The only thing I could think of is that they were trying to pay homage to the original film, but the original film was set in 1946, so it wasn't like there was even people dressed in 70s garb.
Doesn't make sense at all.
None of it really makes sense. It was a weird choice. I don't like it, and it's just confusing. But we do have Grandpa Gilmore from Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
Edward Harriman.
Yes, we do.
So
he made me
that.
I went, ooh!
That makes it better. That makes that part better. For whatever reason. I mean, just to kind of go through at this in this film, we have a main character that we follow. Her name is Jamie. She's pretty good character. I feel like she's semi-realistic. I like there's pretty good character development between Jamie and our other main character. We have Nick, her friend slash boyfriend, who we're semi-suspicious of. I like their relationship. I like the character building. I thought it was fine. It's not anything special, but it was done well enough to whet my appetite, I guess. I was interested in what happened to them. But there's all this other shit that just... I don't understand character choices that are like, oh, well, we should leave town. And she's like, oh, I can't leave town now. Why can't you leave town now? Like, if there's a killer calling you on the phone, leaving you emails, contacting you regularly, why wouldn't you want to leave town? I would think that's the perfect time to leave town. No?
I don't know. A lot of stuff that happens in this movie doesn't really make sense to me.
That's true. List some, please.
Of it. Except for maybe, I guess, like the first sort of murder. I don't know. Like, the first
murders are weird too. There's a lot of sex in this film.
It's, I don't know. Maybe it's because I watched these films back to back, but like, I definitely, like, I've seen this movie before and I don't, like, I remember liking it okay. Yeah. You know, like I hadn't seen the original since I was tiny, and I appreciated that at least I could sort of watch it through this movie. But watching them back to back, like, it made me almost appreciate it less, and I wasn't huge into it. I wasn't a huge fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Like, it's okay though. I don't remember it even coming out. I don't remember hearing about it. I don't really recognize any of the actors other than Grandpa Gilmore. So I don't really have any real attachment here. Do you remember this? I mean, you obviously, did you see this when it came out or did you see this after the fact?
I don't believe I saw it in 2014, but I definitely, whenever it first came on, I don't know if it was on Netflix or if it has just always been on Amazon, but it was streaming somewhere. And I think one of my friends here told me about it. So it was probably like 2 years ago that I saw it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have as much to say about this film. It was just, there's a lot of weird choices. There was a lot of weird acting. There's a lot of weird choices with the characters, especially towards the end that didn't make sense. There was like a whole the trombone scene was really forced, where we have a copycat killer. So, okay. They follow the guy with the trombone and whatever. They go to like the two guys, gay couple.
Go to like the corn maze thing.
It's some sort of like junkyard or something. It's like a bunch of old signs.
Yeah.
And they're, like, getting ready to make out, and the killer comes. And, like, the killer spelled out Phantom in, like, sign letters on the ground. I'm like, when did you have time to do that? Doesn't make any sense.
It's super weird and feels forced.
It feels very forced. It feels a lot cheesy. It just feels cheesy. I don't know. There's some good, there's some effective stuff, but for the most part, I don't know. I would almost just say watch the original and skip it. I don't really know that it's offering anything additional. I don't really see any merit to watching this. Unless you really like 2000 semi-remakes, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really honestly have much to say about this movie other than I watched it, it was on, it was whatever, and I don't know. Like, I definitely think that if you're going to pick one over the other, I'd watch the original.
Yeah. I think they could have done more, especially if you're going to have a reveal at the end with a killer. Like, I just, when, honestly, when they revealed themselves, it's a good thing they explained who they were, because I had no fucking clue who they were. I was like, who is that? I think I've seen that person again. Well, I might have seen that person before, but there's so many fucking characters. Like, I don't even know who that guy is. Like, you have to explain who the killer is. Like, the reveal should be a reveal. It's a simple formula. Have you seen Scream? The reveal was amazing in Scream. I mean, do you remember the first time you saw Scream and that reveal and like how like torn up and heartbroken you were?
And you were like, Billy?
How could you do this?
Billy, you were dead and now you're not dead?
Yeah. It's heartbreaking.
What is happening to my young brain?
It's so emotionally jolting. This film, the reveal, you're like, wait, who is that? Why do I care?
You're like, I don't fucking understand what's happening.
Yeah, what's happening right now?
You don't care.
I did guess that there were two killers, though. I totally called that. I was like, I think there's two killers. Because I honestly thought Edward Herrmann was going to be one of the killers. And because he was in jail at one point, I thought maybe there was two so that he could be one, like the mastermind behind it. And the other guy would be the more athletic running around and doing stuff killer. But that didn't happen. That would have been sweet. Because he was all, like, religious and, like sticking up for the killer and saying, like, oh, he's making people come to church. Whatever. Anyway.
That would have been so good. That would have been so much better.
I know. I should write horror movies. I don't know why I'm not
Let's
doing this
Let's write horror shit. Movies.
We totally should. Movies. We totally should. Okay. Let's do it. But before we start doing that, let's jump into our newest segment, which we like to call
Social Media Question of the Week.
This week's question is, if you had to defend yourself using only a musical instrument as a weapon, which would you choose?
On Twitter, we have That Baseball Joe, who says, guitar, you can swing it like a bat.
I like it.
Very smart.
At Harrison Smith 85 says, a clarinet, because I conked someone good in the fifth grade with one, and it served me well.
All right.
I want to hear more about that story.
I do too, actually. Yeah. Please.
It sounds like it was on purpose. It wasn't like by accident.
I purposefully knocked someone in the noggin with my clarinet. I'm definitely curious. Okay.
Yeah.
At The Giant Be With You says, electric guitar. There's a reason why they are often referred to as an axe.
Fact. At Eddie Foot says, harp. Use it like a tree's grater on their face. While I appreciate the brutality of that, you're going to have trouble getting a harp around because it's very large. I had a roommate in college that played harp and that shit was
I don't think you can necessarily
humongous.
Swing it.
Huh?
You'd push it. Would you push it on them?
No, like you'd have to like grab their face and then like grate it on the wires.
Okay.
Which would be effective, but I feel like it's maybe not the easiest way.
I don't have the upper body strength for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Good for you, though.
Yeah.
That you do, because not me. At Eat the Penguin says, I'd use a bassoon. Long instrument, good reach.
I appreciate that. There's like a kind of a hook on a bassoon, too, if I remember correctly. On Instagram, we have Justin from the Horror Business that says, the guitar from Fury Road, or one of Ted Nugent's guitars, because I'm assuming they're all some kind of weapon.
Oh my God, would you be like bungeeing yourself in between situations as well, like the guy from Fury Road?
Yeah, I think you would. And also flames shoot out of that guitar.
Yeah.
But also, damn. I'm pretty sure he's right. And Ted Nugent's guitars probably all have like a gun attached to them of some kind.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. That's just fact.
He's a smart man, that Justin.
OT Gourmet Geek says, assuming I'm being attacked by a humanoid, I would go with a banjo. It's got a decent size, and after Zombieland, I really just want to attack a zombie with a banjo. Hashtag life goals.
I love it. Hit Same. 20 says, beans, beans, the musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. I think maybe they missed the question and just heard musical instrument and went from there.
Well, maybe like lighting your farts on fire.
Maybe. That's not in what they said. But
I'm expanding.
Okay. I appreciate it, Carly. Thank you.
I appreciate this next one. Mi amor, mi corazón says flying V.
Hell yeah. Devil's Candy.
So good.
Now I'm thinking about Ethan Embry.
When am I not thinking about Ethan Embry and the Devil's Candy is what I want to know.
Pinball Bobby says, Gene Simmons, Battle Axe, bass. For it.
A Wallach cinephile says, a piccolo. Poke it in the eye.
that's it's a very dainty way to get someone. I appreciate it, though. It's like saying I want a toothpick to fight someone with. it's the toothpick of musical instruments. At Kung Fu Dracula says, a piano suspended in the air like the old Roadrunner cartoons. Come at me, bro, and I'll Wile E. Coyote your ass.
That was my first instinct. I literally told Amy before we started this. I was like reading our social media question as I was getting in my car, and I was like, duh, piano. And then I was like, this is not a cartoon.
I want to watch you, like, you could rig a pulley system. Hey, if Pamela Voorhees can do it, Carly, you can do it.
I believe. Oh, so good. That was definitely, like what popped into my head first.
Right.
Jeez Louise. Riley QL says, a grand piano's worth of piano wires.
That's a lot of piano wires.
That's a lot of piano wires.
A lot of strangling. You could,
like, slice some shit.
Yeah, it's true. And get some, like, audition shit going on. On Facebook, we have Don A, who says, drums, I could either use the sticks or the barrel itself to double my chances at self-defense. Sorry, I don't know what the drum barrels are called. I hope you know what I mean. LOL.
Kick drum.
I think they're just called drums. But yeah.
The kick drum or the toms.
Yeah. It's true.
Bass drum? That's sure. A thing.
You could, like, put the drum on their head and then, like, hit it. Yeah. Throw a cymbal at someone, slice their head off. Singular,
I believe, would be a drum barrel. I feel like that's fair. Yeah. Sure.
I think that's fine. It's totally fair.
Jeremy B says, a guitar would be the easiest to handle and would be a lot more aerodynamic, like an axe. It puts shredding into a new light.
So, Carly, what's your instrument of choice here as a weapon?
God, I really want to say piano. I feel like, maybe like a trumpet or trombone would be effective, because I would think of like a guitar, but if I hit it with one good hit, it could break.
Yeah.
Whereas
a brass instrument. Yeah.
Yeah, would, you know.
Or a woodwind.
A woodwind
might be okay. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, because I was thinking clarinet or like a bass clarinet because they're bigger.
Yeah.
Because I think it's light enough that I could hit someone, but it's heavy enough that it could do damage. And also, you could play it to get help to come nearby. You could use it like a rape whistle, if you will.
Yeah.
Because I used to play clarinet and oboe. So I'm like familiar with how to at least get a loud, high pitched sound out of it. Something that would really Shrill. Annoy people so they would complain.
Yeah.
Because I was not very good at it. So I could be like, I could get people complaining. Noise?
And you're like, well, I'm going to burst your eardrum.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. Thanks.
Okay. Is there anything else? We've been recording a while. We're like jabber boxes today. Is that something people say?
We talked a lot about The Strangers.
We did. Our first
and
segment
also other 80s
long.
Hits.
Fact. That thing you
That's
do.
Good.
We spent a lot of time on That Thing You Do. You know, that horror classic. That
Worth
thing
it.
You do.
Totally worth it.
All right. Well, what's going on with you, Carly? You have anything you want to report?
No things.
No things?
I am living an uneventful life this week.
I've been watching some stuff. I started watching Supernatural, but I only got like 2 or 3 episodes in. It's okay. It hasn't caught me yet, but I want to keep watching it because I know it will catch me at some point. I'm just not drawn in quite enough yet. But it is
more... You get attached to the characters.
Yeah, I like the characters. It's definitely more horror than I expected. I thought it would be more sci-fi. But it definitely has more horror aspects to it than I expected, so far at least. And there's also, the graphics aren't as terrible as I expected. I kind of thought there would be a lot of cheesy CGI, but maybe just getting off of Buffy, like I expected some like outdated practical effects or some really bad CGI, but it's not bad. It's not bad at all. I'll keep watching it.
It's fun. I recommend you sticking with it. It's definitely more about the characters and also like the weird, like there's certain quirky episodes that they film, which is kind of what I appreciated and what kept me watching it. But then like I also got really attached to Sam and Bobby and Dean, and they're kind of what like carried me through even the like not so great seasons. Like I still just wanted to keep watching it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably keep with it, but I don't feel like binging it as much as I like wanted to binge like Buffy. Like I couldn't stop watching Buffy. Like this I could like even take a week off and then go back to it and be okay. But that's good. That's good. It means, and there's like what 12, 13 seasons that is still 8, going.
8,000 seasons to
I'll like
it.
Never catch up and it'll be fine. I need a show like that that I can just put on like when I need something to watch. So it's a good show for me right now. And I know I will get caught up in it because I already like the characters a lot. I'm just not addicted to them yet. I'm sure I'll get there. What else?
Certain,
I started watching...
Certain seasons definitely move faster than others.
Yeah. I also started watching Channel Zero No End House, which is the second season of Channel Zero. I only got like 3 episodes in and I kind of lost interest. But the first episode was so good. I recommend at least watching the first episode because if you like weird haunted houses, this is the episode for you. It's on Sci-Fi. It's because it's about a haunted house that's like real and like you kind of get stuck in it. So you don't know what's haunted house and what's real life. It's really interesting. I recommend at least the first episode because the haunted house stuff is really, really, really good. That's all I have to report. I have been watching a lot of movies.
You reminded me I did binge watch Mindhunters.
Oh, did you?
I watched all of it and it was wonderful.
I heard it's really good.
That's all I have is Mindhunters.
Okay. Well, let's close out then. okay. just a quick note. We have a new live stream coming up. We haven't done a live stream in a while, so we're going to be doing our next Patreon live stream on the 26th of November, which is a Sunday. We'll be doing it sometime, probably. We usually do what those around like 11 or so. I'll post on Patreon with an exact time. It helps to do it on the weekend earlier so that our European UK listeners can join in if they want. Also, we like to keep them in the loop. And then also, you know, everyone's going to be full of turkey or not turkey for our vegetarian vegan friends as well.
Tofurkey.
Yeah, I'm all about the tofurkey and the mushroom gravy.
Oh my God, yes.
We'll be doing that. So I'll post on Patreon. If you're not a Patreon subscriber yet, there's still time. You can go on there and subscribe and join. All you have to do is do like $1 or $2 a month and you will be included in the live stream. Just if you're interested, be sure to subscribe before the 26th and shoot a message on there so that I know to add you to our Facebook group so you can get the invite. It's so much fun. And this month we're talking about Stranger Things, right? We're going to be talking about Stranger Things and, you know, Thanksgiving. Just whatever.
And Steve. And his hair by Farrah.
Exactly. And whatever the fuck else we want, because that's what we do on our live stream. It's a lot of fun. And then if you can't make the live stream, totally understandable. Not everyone can do it. But we will also post those videos on Patreon afterward, should you want to catch up after. But it's really fun to be involved in the live stream, because then you can interact with us, ask us questions, talk with us while we're talking. We will take breaks and interact with you. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone, and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for more information on them, to listen to our episodes, to visit our Patreon site, to visit our merchandise shop. Lots of stuff on there. We also have a lot of stickers to give away, so if you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes. Then send us an email to finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com with your address, and I'll send some to you. And it's special for you, and only you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H., Nick B., Jonathan W., Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Final Girls HC, and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find that link on our Facebook homepage.
Super exciting stuff. So next week, I'm really excited about next week's episode, Carly. I don't know if you are, but I am. Because we're going to be watching Lights Out.
I'm super excited.
We're going to be watching Lights Out and The Ring, which are both streaming on HBO Go or HBO Now. I mean, everyone who's listened to us has probably seen The Ring. Maybe not everyone has seen Lights Out yet, but just really fun jump scare, fun, awesome funness. I'm just really excited about it. Have you seen Lights Out yet, Carly?
I have. I saw it in theaters, but I haven't seen it since that moment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, me neither. I saw samesies. I'm really, really, really stoked. I don't know why I'm so excited. I just haven't watched either of those movies in a while. The Ring, I don't think I've seen in like a long time, so I'm really excited about it.
Same. I haven't seen it in super long.
I wonder
either
how
of these movies, because Lights Out came out a while ago too.
It was last year. It was last year. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We were doing our podcast when it came out.
Whoops. I thought it'd been at least 2 years.
Well, not the short, like the full length film that was in theaters. By the way, if you haven't seen the short film, go on YouTube and find it. Please.
It will haunt you in your dreams.
It will. And it'll be amazing. But until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye.
Bye.